Our fifth sermon in Philippians chapter 1. As you can tell, it's going to be a great book. So Paul there in the beginning talked about his love for the church at Philippi, how he thanked God for every remembrance of them. Then he encouraged the fruits of righteousness in their lives and then talked about his own suffering and bonds and how he said those were in Christ, that they Jesus knew about them and allowed them. And then he reminded us last week, his life verse, if you will, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Tonight he finishes this chapter by encouraging the Christians at Philippi to live for Jesus 100% and that it's all for Christ, as he mentioned last week. So notice verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. So, in the behalf of Christ, that's our title tonight. Lord, give us wisdom, use your word, teach us, and grow us through it. We are grateful for this privilege and give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the behalf of Christ, this is what God wants from every believer, but Paul was writing to the church of Philippi. He says, this is what God wants. On the behalf of Christ, God wants these things in your life. The first thing he says in verse 27 is that our conversation line up with our profession. Our conversation, meaning all of our behavior, that it becometh the gospel of Christ. We claim to be Christians. We claim to be servants of God, stewards of God, soldiers of God. He says, let your conversation line up with that, as it becometh the gospel of Christ. He says in Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And so this is what God wants, first of all, on the behalf of Christ, is that our conversation line up with our profession. Secondly, verse 27, that we stand fast. Notice he says that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast. They were going to face false doctrine, as we all will. He says, I want you to stand fast when these things happen. Stand true to God's word. And many times in the New Testament, we're told to stand fast. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15:58 to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord and so forth. So that he wants our conversation to line up with our profession. He wants us to stand fast. And in verse 27, he wants us to be in unity. Notice he says, in one spirit with one mind. This is God's will for Christians, that we be in a given church, unified. Notice Colossians or 1 Corinthians 1:10, if you would. 1 Corinthians 1:10, he said the same thing to the church at Corinth because he was having to rebuke them for their disunity. But in this case, he is saying the Philippians, on the behalf of Christ, this is what God wants. But note in 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So in the behalf of Christ, our conversation needs to line up with our profession. He wants us to stand fast and be unified. Lastly, verse 27, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 1:27, striving means to fight. Fighting together. Who are we fighting? Not one another. We're fighting the devil. Amen. We're fighting because the lost are going to hell. It's worth fighting the devil. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. We're here to fight. We're here to labor until we go to heaven, like we talked about Sunday morning. So we're to strive on the behalf of Christ for the gospel. We're to to be in unity, we're to stand fast, and our conversation is to line up with our profession. Now, in 28, he makes an interesting statement. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. Paul was acknowledging that if we do set out to live for God, that spiritual progress always begets spiritual resistance. As long as we're not serving God, the devil leaves us alone. If we're just sitting around doing nothing for God, the devil could care less. But once we get serious and start striving for the gospel, start living the faith of Jesus Christ like we should, then we're going to have adversaries. That's just a fact. from a pastoral point of view, I always know that as long as me and the church keep getting attacked, I must be doing something right. Because the devil hates Bible-believing churches. And there's always going to be them. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:9. As a young pastor, I remember, I would stress out and lose it every time, but now I'll expect it. I'm just waiting for the next attack, because it's going to come. 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. Oh, praise the Lord. Open doors. But look at the rest of the verse. And there are many adversaries. Whenever you set out to serve God, there's going to be adversaries. But what's he saying? Don't be terrified. There's nothing to fear. God is in control. Are we going to get attacks? Are we going to have resistance if we set out to live for God? Absolutely. But he says, don't be terrified. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. How many times were we told in the New Testament, don't fear? And so on the behalf of Christ, we're to do these things. We're to strive for the gospel. We're to be unified. We are to stand fast. We're to have our conversation lined up with our profession. And Paul says, and as we do that, don't be afraid when the attacks come. And they will. Then verse 29. For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Wouldn't you know, he'd have to throw that one in there. These things that he wants us to do in the behalf of Christ, he wants us to line up with our conversation, to line up with our profession. He wants us to stand fast and be unified and strive together for the gospel, not be afraid. And of course, he's were to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. Why did he have to put that one in there? So not only are we going to face attacks from our adversaries if we choose to serve God, but we are going to suffer. That's a guarantee. Of course, we're to believe on him, but he says that we're also to suffer. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says. Psalm 34:19. Job said, when they have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. They're going to keep coming. Because that's part of God's way of growing us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so if we set out to live for God, Paul is telling these Christians at Corinth, you're going to face attacks, and it's God's will that you suffer. Of course, it's God's will that we believe on him, but also to suffer. That's what it says, on the behalf of Christ. For our light affliction, 2 Corinthians 4:17, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It worketh for us. 1 Peter 5:10, we'll see it again. 1 Peter 5:10. Notice he says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strength, and settle you. So Paul says, on the behalf of Christ, I want you to live your profession. I want you to stand fast. I want you to be unified. And I want you to strive together for the gospel so that people can be saved. Don't be afraid in the midst of all these attacks you're going to face. And on the behalf of Christ, it's God's will that you suffer. And we all understand this as Christians, that It's part of God's way of growing us, is to test us, to try us. And so we're always going to face attacks if we live for God, and we're always going to suffer in one form or another as God grows us. In the behalf of Christ, he said, this is God's will for you. You know, Philippians, the theme is joy and rejoicing. Amen. But if there is a sub-theme to Philippians, it's suffering. In the midst of suffering, we're to have joy. In the midst of suffering, we're to rejoice. And we can. Right? James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And we can do that because Paul wrote this from prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. He was suffering. And he told us about that earlier in the chapter. But he said, my bonds are Christ's bonds. It's God's will. So on the behalf of Christ, I want you as Christians to live what you profess. I want you to stand fast. I want you to be unified. I want you to strive together. Don't be afraid of the adversaries and plan to suffer. What a way to finish the chapter, eh? In the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and reminding us tonight that we are here to live for you. Help us to do just that, to stand fast, to be unified, Lord, to strive together for the gospel, and to know the attacks will come and that the suffering will be part of our lives. And may we accept it as from you, like Paul did with his bonds. Know that you're using it in our lives for your good. Thank you for speaking to us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.